Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Krista B from Those Wrestling Girls. Now, if you know me, you know how much of a rock fan I am. And it's been so hard for me to get my hands on an actual rock t-shirt until now. I finally got my rock shirt and I got it from Ripple Junction. Ripple Junction is a team of imaginative pop culture fanatics who creates the planet's most awesome t-shirts and official licensed products. They are armed with all things WWE, and it's always some fun, cute designs up there, so you have to go up there. Make sure you go to ripplejunction.com, and don't forget to use the code THOSEWRESTLINGGIRLS for 15% off of your purchase. Hope to see you there, and you have to let me know what shirts you got. Bye!
Hey everybody, what's up? We're back. It's Those Wrestling Girls. It's your girl, Krista B.
And Queen PR.
And today we are continuing our Attitude Era Summer Series episodes. And let me tell y'all, P trying to set me up because I don't even know what we're talking about today. She wouldn't tell me. She was just like, she wanted to surprise me. So I'm going to turn it over to her to let her explain to you how she's setting me up today. P?
Yes. So as Krista B said, we're continuing our Attitude Era Summer Series. And I really wanted to do an episode that kind of just talked about women in the Attitude Era generally. We did spotlights on Molly Holly, Jacqueline, Chyna, Stephanie McMahon even. But now I kind of just want to just talk about women in general. So it's kind of like a spotlight slash real talk episode kind of thing. But thinking back on the Attitude Era, and especially because our podcast is all about women, we got inspired back in 2018 when the women really started killing it. But how do you think about women back in the Attitude Era, which is what, late 90s, early
2000s? One, it wasn't enough of us. And we know, we always say that. And then the women that were there didn't look like us except for Jacqueline. So Jacqueline, like we said in our previous episode about her, like she kind of paved that way. She was like the first to do everything. But it still wasn't enough of us. Like we had those women and then you came in Moolah and Mae Young, who was just like, especially Mae Young, just badass. And I'm just like, listen, I got to get old to be, you know, to pursue a wrestling career. Because at that time, I really didn't know, like, they were wrestlers before. I just thought that they were part of Vince's family. And they was just like, all right, go ahead, go. If you hurt yourself, whatever. Because, you know, Vince sometimes doesn't give a damn. But, and then, like, the way that they were, these women were portrayed. Like, I feel like the only one that really wasn't as sexy or portrayed as in such manner as much was Lita. Mm-hmm. Like Lita was like, she was represented for the tomboys. And I was a tomboy.
Even though her thong was out all the time.
Yeah, she was a sexy tomboy.
But we looked at her, and it's funny because that was gonna be one of my questions for you is like, did you ever look at the women as like wrestlers in the way that we do now? Like, you know how they changed the whole thing? They're not divas anymore, they're WWE superstars. Like, did you ever look at the women at that time in that way?
I don't think so. Maybe only, to be honest, only Chyna, Lita, sometimes Trish, because Trish was always like, she was the mistress and she was this and she was that. I don't think it was until she won her first belt, her first women's championship, that I didn't look at her as a wrestler. Like, I never looked at her as a diva. I feel like the divas was more so Sable, Sunny, Ivory, sometimes, you know. But then later on, when we had Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, those were the divas. Like, those were the models. So sometimes Trish would fit in that mold. And I'd be like, okay, what is she? Is she a wrestler? Is she a diva? Like, what is she? Yeah. That was really my question. Is she a wrestler? Is she a diva?
And I think that's one of the reasons why Trish stands out in so many people's minds, because she was able to kind of be both really good. Like, she used her sexuality, but she also like learned how to be a really good wrestler. And I'm glad you brought up the women's championship during the Attitude Era, because now, you know, we have three different women's championships, but prior to the Attitude Era, they discontinued the women's championship and then brought it back, and Jacqueline actually won it the first time it got reinstated. But it still didn't have the same like weight as the women's championship. Now it still sort of felt like a prop almost, because you had, you know, Jacqueline had it, but then you had like Deborah was a women's champion, Sable was a women's champion, and these weren't necessarily like wrestlers.
Stephanie, like, was like a two-time women's champion,
right? And how she won it those times, it wasn't like five-star matches. Like, it was like, you know, the typical Attitude Era, you know,
I'm the boss's basically. Daughter. Right. I'm the boss's daughter. Do the fuck I want, give me my belt, basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, yep. You're right. Now is like in today's era is like the women's champion, all three of them holds more height than the Intercontinental champion. And we know back then being the Intercontinental champion was higher than being the World Wrestling Federation champion, even like the Universal champion at one point. But now, like, I don't even know who the IC champion is. Exactly.
I want to say AJ Styles.
I think I want to say AJ Styles too, but it's not as heavily represented as it was before.
The and men's like, championships definitely now are kind of like, who's champion again? Like, who's champion again?
But the women's... Braun Strowman was a champion.
Right, and I feel bad because I like Braun Strowman, but it feels like, oh, okay, but when the women's championship changes hands, it's such an emotional investment nowadays. Like, it's taken so much more seriously than, like, whoever's the Universal Champion at the moment. But back then, it really, it never felt back then the same. I never took it as seriously as I did, like, the World Championship, like a Stone Cold Rock match, like, who's gonna switch the championship. I never looked at women's wrestling that way back then.
I don't think, if that was the case, then they did their job.
Right.
They did their job. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. They delivered it that way. That's what happened. And that was it. They did their job. But yeah, I feel like it was a little hope when China took it and she had it. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like looking back at her career now, that IC champion was it. That IC championship was it. Even for a woman, for her to be the first woman to become IC champion, I was like, damn, that's it. So, like, what's a woman's champion?
I know, right?
Like, so, Alundra could keep that.
I know. So I'm glad you brought up women making history, because that was something else on the list that I wanted to talk about. Because in the Attitude Era, there were a lot of presidents set that I don't think are going to be, you know, oh shit, I lost my earring. I knew I was too. China winning the Intercontinental title, which you mentioned. In our Jacqueline episode, we mentioned how she won the Cruiserweight title, how China and Beth Phoenix entered the Men's Royal Rumble. There are so many history-making moments that women made. Can you talk about how it felt like seeing like China into the Royal Rumble, or just the intergender wrestling and whatnot?
First of all, China entering the Royal Rumble, that had to be like what, 98, 99? So my nine year old self was just like, I remember screaming at the top of my lungs, like top of my lungs. Like when the Shield reunited scream. Y'all, if you know, you know. But I'm just looking at it, I'm just like, yo, like she's really going to enter the Royal Rumble. Like she really can go to WrestleMania. She really can be the first woman to ever enter and win a men's Royal Rumble match. Yep. Sadly, it didn't happen because they wasn't ready for that. They were not ready for that at all. They were not ready for that. But just seeing that, it gives me goosebumps. Like, it sends chills down my spine to know that China literally paved this way. And now she really can't see all that she's done because she's not here.
Right.
Like, I've been scrolling on Facebook. Right. I feel like since our China episode came out, I've just been scrolling on Facebook and I've been seeing all these China segments. And I'm like, yo, China did so much and so little.
Right. She really did. And she was not with the company for a very long time like you would think she was. And I love talking about her too, because we have a lot of young listeners and a lot of them didn't grow up in the Attitude Era. So they listen to
these episodes. I think that's a good thing too.
I do too. And they listen to these episodes and they're like learning about these women, which is really, really cool. And I'm sure.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean them not growing Attitude Era, because Attitude Era fucked us up. I'm telling you.
Yes, it did. It was crazy. Oh God, it was so crazy. And I'm sure it's unthinkable to like young fans now that a woman was winning the Intercontinental Championship. Like, you know, because we talk about the Attitude Era and about how the women were degraded sometimes and sexualized all the time. But, like, they did do things that will probably never happen again, like winning these titles. Well, let's never say never, but you know what I'm trying to say.
And I just feel so like now, I'm sorry, I just feel like now, if a woman was to win the IFC champion, they will make it so much bigger than what it is a man holding it.
Oh, I agree. I
like, they would do more. I feel like Charlotte or Becky should come back. Becky.
I was just gonna say that. I feel like if any woman, it would probably be like Charlotte or like Shayna Bate, like someone that I feel like, okay, like you can stand.
Or even Ronda popping back up and taking it.
Oh, yeah. I'm never going to say never when it comes to WWE because you just never know. Like, who knows if it will get into gender wrestling? Because now we have mixed tag matches where it's like, okay, the men is in the ring, the women in the ring. But back then, if there was a mixed tag match, like the women fought the men fought the women, like it was very normal back then.
They didn't care. It was no regulations. Now everybody feel like they're, all right, so then, and I'm probably going to be, people probably won't call me out, but I feel like there are certain things in this culture and this time frame that we're in that people are too fucking sensitive over.
I agree.
Too fucking sensitive. Sometimes. Like, we be on wrestling Twitter, and I'll be just like, y'all really going in for this? Like, have y'all grown up in the 90s? This was regular. China, Jacqueline, Trish, Lita, they took them bumps. Stephanie took pedigrees, angle slams, moonsaults, DDTs, stunners, all of that. Mm-hmm. All of
they
that. And now
they all took spots.
And now it's just like, oh my gosh, that's abuse. Y'all need to minimize this and da 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 da. Like, shut the fuck up sometimes.
And I think we should do a Patreon, me and you, about how we feel about intergender wrestling, because I have read some of the most bizarre things online about it. Like, I've read people say that it mirrors like physical abuse, like spousal abuse, and you know, blah blah blah. And I'm just like, I just think it really takes away from the women's talent if you just say like, oh, if they fight men, it just looks like men are beating them. Like, it's like, no, like, I feel like you're so underestimating like what women bring to the table, because on the indies they wrestle men all the time. Like,
they do.
It's really not a big deal. But back then, women were going through tables, like you said, they were going through tables, they were taking chair shots, they were taking
May Young finishers. At 80, 70, 80 something years old, went through a table off of the stage. Yeah. And if you go back and you watch those top 10 lists on the WWE Network, she said so herself that she was all for it. She wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah. She was, and then she even told Bubba, do not take it easy on me.
Don't worry about my age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's some badass shit right there.
Right, nobody's gonna sit here and recognize it. Like, I need to go back and read the story of Mae Young. I need to go back and read the Sisterhood of Wrestling way back when, because they were really handing it to these women, and these women were for it because this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to put on a show. They wanted to say, anything you can do, I can do better. So this culture sometimes is too sensitive for me, and I just be like, I think this is why I let you handle Twitter more than I do, because
my mouth is reckless. Yo, and you know what I've been starting to do is using the mute, but like, I've been posting things and just hitting mute, because like, I can't, I personally am just like, I don't even care, like, I can't deal. Because if y'all were watching wrestling back in the Attitude Era, like, y'all would can't, all y'all favorites would have been canceled. Like, canceled. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some of the Rock's monologues were, you know, a little crazy. But I want to go to, you mentioned Mae Young, so on my list I have Legends, Moolah, and Mae Young. And I remember them vividly in my childhood. I remember when they came about, and I didn't know like the legacy and the pedigree that they brought. I just thought they were just like the funny old ladies that was just gonna get into some shit.
Like a Doink the Clown or something, you know, like Doink the Clown, or like the plumber or the dentist or the repo man, something of that nature. Like, you got two old ladies. Like, I really thought that Mae Young died when she went through that damn table.
I was like, why they got this old lady out here too?
Like, I think I shed a few tears. And then the storyline comes with how Mark Henry are together and they give birth to a hand.
Oh my God. Only in the Attitude Era.
Attitude Era fucked us up.
Yes, that really happened. And she was in a lot of, like, they were in weird, they were in, like, schoolgirl matches where they were in evening gown matches. They were in bra and panty matches. Like, when Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young came around, they did everything. Like you said, Krista, they did everything everybody else did and better. They were taking crazier bumps. They were doing, I used to just be like, oh, my God. Like, how do they have them out here? Like, oh, my God.
And they weren't as old as they looked. I mean, but you know they were older. Like, back then, you can tell, all right, that's an elderly woman. Like, a 70-year-old woman now compared to what a 70-year-old woman looked back then. You'd be like, what? Okay, yeah. You're confused. Like, you're right. The 90s was a different era.
You are.
The 90s was a different era.
So, since we're talking about, we talked about the legends, let's talk about the first divas. You had mentioned them before. Sunny and Sable are kind of looked at as like the first diva because there wasn't really any like females in the WWE that were strictly there to be attractive. Like, we had Miss Elizabeth and like managers and stuff, but they had like a role, they had a purpose. You know, Sunny was kind of the first just like eye candy, like you're watching Raw because I'm sexy type of shit. And then you had Sable. What do you remember about them?
Well, Sunny was kind of diminishing out.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, we started watching 96 97, my most vivid memory of Sunny, she brought back Animal and Hawk, Legion of Doom. Yeah. Okay, I'm
I had the spikes in my head, but I was like, I can't,
the Mohawk and stuff, and I'm just like, damn. Mm-hmm. What is it? And for those who won't be listening, they couldn't see my facial expression. I remember her like being valet to Taka Michinoku. But I vividly remember when the New Age Outlaws pushed that dumpster with Mankind and Terry Funk and then over the stage. And
I remember that.
Terry Funk is yelling that his neck is fucked up and Mankind is not even moving. And you see Sunny on top of the stage and then going down like hysterically crying or whatever. And you could tell that was not a part of it at all. Like, yeah. Everybody, Vince came out. This is when Vince wasn't really coming out. This is when he was like playing in the back and he came out and said, what the fuck are you doing? Cursed him out. Like, I vividly remember Sunny's emotions. Wow. Her emotion, and that was so crazy. And then like she kind of diminished, and then Sable was here, and Sable was just like, I'm gonna do whatever I want when the fuck I want, wear whatever I want when the fuck I want. And sis did that. She really did that. Like, she had her matches. She Sable bomb on Mike Mero, which was her, what is it, Mike Mero?
Yep. Wait, so I love that you brought up Sable, and because how she got into the company, which is so interesting, is like, she wasn't even supposed to be a talent. Like, she came in to interview with Mark Mero because Vince was obsessed with Mark Mero.
I said Mike. See?
Oh, you said Mike? I thought you said Mark.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you got it, girl.
No, I said Mike. Don't worry, y'all. I'm only drinking water. Don't worry.
And then Vince was like, everybody, like, once they left, they all had looked at Sable and was like, okay, yeah, there's something there. And they just had her coming out, modeling merchandise. And then the crowd reaction to her just got like bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they just decided to put her in some more things. And her storyline was about Mark Mero being jealous because she was getting more attention. And then that's how she started beefing with Jacqueline, because Jacqueline was like her replacement with Mark Mero. So it's so interesting how Sable made such an impact, and she wasn't even supposed to be in front of the camera at all.
She wasn't. And it's like, when she came out, she was quiet. Like, she wasn't the mouthpiece at all. Like, she was very, very quiet. She was not supposed to have a mic or anything. One day, she was just like, listen, you wanna have me out here? I'm gonna say what I gotta say. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I'm gonna wear what I wear. But, of course, you remember Sable. Her music, that raw before it actually, the crescendo actually dropped in her music, and then her clothes, or lack thereof, because you know, she came out with the mesh top over bikinis or one with the hands on her boobs. And, you know, Mark Merrill was just like, yeah, we not doing this. And then, you know, they got their divorce because they were really married. And then she started being, I think she was Vince McMahon's first mistress.
I like how you said first. Like, he has so many.
Is that she was, I mean, Trish was one of them.
She definitely was.
Sable was one of them.
So I'm so glad this is a really good segue because we're just talking about women in general in the Attitude Era. You brought up Linda.
I'm just so glad that you surprised me with this because, Lord, I would have been like, yeah, you know what? Y'all gonna see this K on this screen because I'm about to go do research. No, just kidding.
But Linda McMahon was a prominent character.
Linda had to be my favorite. Yeah, I kid you not. Linda had to been my favorite McMahon on TV. Like, she was literally the regular. I was just actually watching a clip when she announced that Stone Cold was going to be in The Rock's corner for Backlash. And Stephanie was like, that's bullshit. And she went out and she goes, well, I'm not going to change what I'm going to have to do to you. And, you know, she tried to go slap her again and Linda slapped Stephanie. And I'm like, yo, every time Linda music hit, when they made Stone Cold CEO after this stage, Stephanie's kidnapping. Yo, y'all gotta scroll on Facebook to watch some old clips. I swear, that takes up all of my time.
Yo, and then you forget about some of these things, and you watch a clip, and you're like, oh, shit.
You gotta go back on that network. What date was this? This was,
yeah. 98? Oh my God. 99? I thought about doing that so much. Like, shout out to our Twitter followers, because we always, on Instagram too, and our Facebook discussion group, we always be like, okay, we're talking about the Attitude Era, give us stuff, and they give us stuff. We be like, that, like,
right, like I had posted a clip from when Shawn Michaels came back and Triple H attacked him and he found out, and I was just like, if we was to reenact this today, who would you want to see do it?
Ooh,
yeah, I can still answer that question on our Facebook. Yeah, it's still up there. Like, who would you want to have seen that do, like, which woman would you would have seen that done first, like in the Attitude Era, like, given, you know, like, if it was some type of jealousy thing, which woman which two would you have wanted to see, like, them reenact that out?
I really love that question. Definitely answer that in the comments on Twitter. Like, I'm so curious about that.
Me too.
But
very
that
curious.
Actually reminds me now of some of the storylines that happened in Attitude Era. We have a fun, actually, like, storyline episode that you guys should check out. It's really funny.
You know what we have to do? Mm-hmm. We have to do, I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, but it just really hit me. We have to do a McMahon family storyline episode.
Oh, yes. Oh my God.
That is so Attitude Era right there. That's so Attitude Era right there.
Attitude Era. Oh my God. Yo, let us know if we should do that episode or what we need to include, guys, because that would be really fun because they were prominent in this era. Like, a lot of people say that when McMahon turned on Bret Hart, that's when the Attitude Era officially started. And then that's when he became an on-screen character. So, like, what is the Attitude Era without? And that's why when we did the Stephanie episode, most of the stuff we talked about was from the Attitude Era because we literally watched her grow up.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have to do the episode.
Yes, and let's talk about these storylines. So we've talked about the Jeff Jarrett. There was a lot of misogynistic storylines back then, of course. Women were punished a lot for things. I can't help but think of Trish barking in the ring on her hands and knees. Very cringe looking back as an adult. Like, I'm like, ooh, this is, you know, it's
cringe when it was happening too.
Yeah, like, even that young, you knew, like, this is kind of crazy. Then there were a lot of, like, women's locker room scenes where it was always men somehow in the women's locker room, fights and cat fights happening in the women's locker room, women going into the men's locker room, a lot of that.
Threesomes,
a lot of sex scenes. Yep, a lot of that, including Mae Young, which is crazy too. And then a lot of, like, body image type storylines, especially more like in the Ruthless Aggression era, where they used it as storylines. But back then, the commentary, the way the women were talked about were so, like,
Jerry King Lawler.
Yes. And even like him, like he's gross. Like even now, like it's almost like he doesn't know how to commentate on women without being gross. But even anyone that was on commentary, like it was a thing back then where it's just like, you know, you talk about her ass, you talk about her boobs, you like hold them and somehow skin always ended up showing back then. Do you notice that? Someone's pants always got, yes, someone's boobs always got exposed somehow. Shit, we saw Lita's song the whole time. Had me want to wear my thong.
If we wore thongs back then, we would not be alive right now. I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Oh, Krista, all facts.
I'll tell you that much. Our parents would play.
OD. So how did you, like, looking back and thinking back, especially compared to how the women are presented now, like, how do you feel about some of these storylines and predicaments the women would find themselves in?
It depends, because looking back at it, you see that most of the audience in during the Attitude Era were mostly males, young boys, all the way up to men who losing their dentures. Like they were mostly guys. So I can see that, you know, you got to do something that fits your demographic. It really wasn't known as a female sport. And then, you know, once you had the hot guys come out like DX, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold, that's when you started to see like the change in demographic. Like the women would start coming out, but they would be like the model looking ones or the one that's ready to show their boobs and the audience. Like you, I don't know, you remember that famous clip when Triple H was like, you lift up your shirt to the girl in the audience and she lifted up and she had like, that's what was seen. So I'm not really, like as time moves forward, I was starting to be like, okay, we're still doing this. Like, look who's in the audience now. Like, sometimes it's just so hard to let go of something that's so good, in the words of Vince, the good shit. But it started to become more like tiring and draining to want to turn on, to get excited to turn on, because you know them promos back then was lit. Like, and then you go upstairs. Yeah. Or you turn on the TV and it's just like, this is the same shit as last week.
Yeah.
Like, why are we...
Like, how many times is Deborah going to strip?
Exactly. And it's just like, it got to the point where some people be like, because I, like I said before, like, summertime in the 90s was bomb. That's it.
Ooh, y'all don't even
like,
know.
Like, so you outside...
In New York City.
You outside, you playing, and wrestling comes on, I was out. I'm going upstairs to watch Raw, 9 o'clock upstairs.
Yep.
You're not going upstairs to watch wrestling? Nah. What was wrong? They doing this again. Oh, okay.
That's exactly how it got after a certain point. And I want to talk about of storylines. PMS, we talk about in our Jacqueline episode, but I also want to talk about Terry Reynolds. Because I feel like she is definitely one of those unsung heroes, because she was there from Goldust back in like, what, 96?
19.
All the way on. Like, she did a lot of things and she moved around a lot and she was a part of a lot of things. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Terry Reynolds and the roles that she played, because she was always around. Like, in my memory, like, she's vividly, when I think back, like, she's always around.
She was always around. I think she was around way before Goldust was Goldust. I feel like she was around when he was just like Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
I feel like she was around there for that. But yeah, she played a role too. She did the Gold Dust stuff. They were married in real life as well.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, got a divorce and they still worked together after a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, then it was PMS and then she went on to be with Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. She was dating Perry Saturn. And it was like, she just kind of dwindled. I don't know if she ended up in WCW. I'm not sure. No, WCW was gone by that time. I'm not sure if she ended up like in Impact or, you know, but I know she just kind of dwindled. And you're right. She is an unsung hero. Like she,
yeah.
We definitely got to do an episode on her.
We should, because she was also very like boss when she was with Goldust. Like I remember her smoking a cigar.
The gold dress.
Yeah, the gold dress. Like she was very kind of like swaggy a little bit back then. And then there's that picture of her with Goldust on the leash. And if you, like, now that I'm older, like, that's some, like,
that's badass
shit back then. Yeah, like, yeah. Now I'm like, yeah. Do y'all even know what that even means right now? Like, and we'll post that picture on Twitter so we can all look at it. But Harry Reynolds, definitely, I remember vividly. She had that pregnancy miscarriage, weird-ass storylines. PMS had those weird storylines where they retire men out before matches. Now, mind you, my innocent ass was like, how are they tiring them out?
Not me. I knew.
I was like, are they training them so hard? Like, you know, why? But that was a legit storyline back then. And you couldn't even imagine that, like, now. Can you?
I'll be so just. I will go down to Florida myself or drive to Connecticut.
Right,
myself.
Right. Like,
what are y'all doing? Now? Beating on doors. Like, this is what we're doing? Is this what we're doing?
Yeah. Okay, so we brought up Terry Reynolds. And I want to also talk about some of the roles that they played in factions real quick, because Chyna came in as DX's bodyguard, the Generation X. TNA, Trish came in as the valet for
Test and A-Train.
And yes. And then you got Lita, who joined Team Extreme, and she actually added so much to the Hardy Boys.
But Lita first, if you guys remember this, and some of y'all probably won't, she first started out as one of the Godfather's hoes.
Oh shit! Yeah,
she was one of Godfather's hoes. I remember that episode. She came out. It was only two of them. It was her and somebody else. It was only two of them. And, you know, he usually have a whole train. It was only two of them. And then from that, she was alongside, I forget the Mexican wrestler's name.
Red hair, right? I think
yes.
S.A. Rio.
I think so. Y'all can correct us. Y'all can correct us.
I'm like, let me know. I think I'm making up a name.
And she was there with them, and they tried to make it seem like she was like of Mexican descent. You know, that didn't work out because he would speak Spanish to her, and she would just look confused and make it seem like she knows what he's saying. It didn't work. It was like, X that. And then she became part of Team Extreme.
And it still like worked.
The best thing.
Oh my god, they were like the coolest thing. Like, I wish, like, whoever did not grow up watching Team Extreme, how cool they, like, they just seem like the coolest people. Like,
right, Becky even awesome said it was because of Lita, like, she wanted to be a wrestler and wear thongs yes. and shit.
Yeah, yes.
Who didn't? I mean, I didn't want to wear a thong, but I did want the crop tops.
Oh yeah, I definitely whatever little net thing. Yes, the mesh. I wanted all of those all of vibes.
Then we had the now.
Yes. Holly Cousins, we talk about in our Molly Holly episode. Mm-hmm. That's how Molly Holly debuted, and then Ivory was put with Right to Censor. So like the women are always sort of like paired with the men somehow, which is cool. But in some situations, they really elevated the men. Like, what was DX without Chyna? What was Team Extreme without Lita? What was like?
Right, what is DX without Chyna?
Do you remember Tori?
Mm-hmm. I wonder what happened to her.
Me too, because she was also featured for a short amount of time. She had like a storyline with Kane, X-Pac. She was in DX.
She was in DX. I wonder what happened to her.
She's kind of like, was she supposed to replace Chyna when Chyna left DX? Not left WWE, but when Chyna left DX. I'm wondering, like, was she the female replacement?
And she... I don't know, because Stephanie was with her too at the time. Stephanie was there, sure. So maybe.
Yeah, Tori helped Stephanie win the women's championship.
The first, too. Yeah, the first mm-hmm. one. Damn, y'all right, need to other... let us know what happened to Tori. Let us know, not Tori Wilson, the original Tori.
Tori, yes. Do you remember the cat?
Yes, Miss Kitty.
Yes, yes.
Who also happened to be married to King.
Yes. She definitely was.
I don't know if she still fired. Is married to him. She nah, got they fired. Got and King was like, if you fire her, I'm out. Vince was like, there's the door. King was like, all right, bye.
That's a real match right there. But
that's when Paul Heyman came and replaced King. For y'all, for those of y'all who didn't know why King wasn't there no more.
Yep. And supposedly she was hard to work with, but there's a lot of different reports on whether or not that's true. But she was in a lot of storylines. She participated in her bra and panty matches. I remember her with Miss Kitty very vividly. She was Chyna's, like, kind of, like, protege at one point. They, like, dressed alike. I'm going to post post some of these photos. They're like really
so crazy. She came, a little background on Miss Kitty. She was originally, it was, remember, with Deborah and Jeff Jarrett. So it was a gift from Jeff Jarrett to Deborah to have Kitty. So she started off as Deborah's assistant or whatever. So when that whole storyline started to come out, China was just like over it. And, you know, you don't deserve this. You two are better than that. So when Deborah kind of ventured off after the whole, I think, everything in with the kitchen sink match, Kitty was still around. And then one day you see Kitty dressed up as China, black wig and all of that. That's how she actually came to the home. She was a gift from Jeff to Kitty, nice. To Deborah.
I'm such a historian sometimes. You really are. Oh my God, you really remember like such as like key things, because that also speaks to the storylines that the women were in during that time, right. Too.
How do you give somebody a whole woman?
Right.
That's not
and he was a lesbian so misogynistic anyway.
So
right.
Was.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned the Godfather's hoes, because when it comes to women and attitude ever, they were I remember them vividly, and people looked
forward to
them. I was
for the whole train.
I thought it was fun. And then you went into different cities, and he had girls from different cities, and then a lot of, like you mentioned, Lita, a lot of wrestlers that a lot of women that end up working with WWE is a Godfather as a whole at some point, and including Ryan Shamrock. Do you remember her from PMS?
Yes, Ryan Shamrock, who was Ken Shamrock's sister. Who, you couldn't fuck with Ken Shamrock's sister.
No.
And I think she was messing with, who was she messing with at the time?
I don't remember.
She was messing with somebody, and Ken was like, no, and I remember she had got kidnapped by the, the Ministry of Darkness too. Ooh, boy.
Wow, you are really Ken bringing Shamrock. It back. You are really
that
bringing it back.
Was my thing. Oh, she was messing with Val Venus.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Oh God, Val Venus. Oh my God. Do you remember Barbara Bush, the EMT?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to, I don't know who on Twitter brought her up, but I'm so glad you did, because I almost forgot about her, but she was the real busty EMT, because you know, back in the atmosphere, everybody was getting her ambulance was coming for everybody, everybody was getting arrested, but she was this busty EMT lady that always came, named Barbara Bush. And so many people were like, you got to talk about BB, Barbara Bush. I'm like, why y'all remember her so much?
You see why. You see why.
Okay, so I want to talk about a couple more things before we wrap up. Lillian Garcia.
I'm about to say, I was really about to say, if you sit here and not mention not 1 ounce of a Lillian Garcia, we about to be over.
You know I had to.
Right, okay. You know, we got to do an episode on her, too, because she was literally a staple of Attitude Era.
I would absolutely love that, because she had some iconic moments with The Rock, Stone Cold, everybody, basically. And before, I'm going to let you go off on Lillian Garcia, but before you do, I want to mention, and why I mention Lillian Garcia so much is because she always talks about how, at one point, when it came to women, like, there were a lot of nights where she was the only woman that was in the ring. Like, pay-per-view, sometimes she was the only woman ever, like, in the ring, coming out and all that kind of stuff. She sang the national anthem. She was with the company for, over a decade. And
yeah, I think it was just, like, 2016, 2017, she wasn't there anymore because of her dad. Her dad had passed away, I believe. But, yeah, she was there for a long, long time.
Like, and I remember, was, like, a fan.
Yeah, me too. I remember when she, sorry guys, watching Attitude Era, and when it was no more Harold Finkel or what was his name, Chummel or Chimmy or something, the other one. You know him if you see him. And I remember hearing this woman's voice, and she had to do all of the announcements and stuff, and you know, she was horrible the first day. Like, they were paying the camera on her. You see her, like, scrolling through the book name and stuff like that. But come that second episode, sis got it down packed. She's like, y'all not going to put me out there being crazy. Nope.
Nice.
And, like, she was everything. You know, you have your funny Lillian Garcia moments where she's walking and she's being introduced to come to the ring and she falls down the ramp. with, you know, her backstage interviews with The Rock and the tank top and the strudel, the beer, the beer chugging.
She took a lot of things like a champ. As did a lot of women in that time. Like she really took it like a, she was cool. And I love that at Evolution she came back to ring announce and she got a Lillian chant. And I always like to mention that because
I have like chills. Just, literally that gave me goosebumps.
Right, because she's just a con, like she's just, you know, an announcer, and like she was that appreciated at this all women event because at one point she was really represented for the women.
Right.
In WWE. Okay, so we mentioned Lillian. I'm so glad. Shout out to her. Listen to our podcast. It's really cute. And we talked about Ivory. I guess I have to ask, what is the Attitude Era's like lasting legacy when it comes to women and just like comparing it to now? Like, what are your like overall thoughts on, I guess, how far-
besides it fucking us up,
yes, we need a shirt that says that.
We right, add it to our fuck us up. Sincerely, Krista B and Queen PR of those wrestling girls. Somebody make us that shirt, thanks. I don't know, because I feel like even though the women were an integral part of the Attitude Era, you know, we will, and we're going to be as real and transparent as possible. For us, you know, it always really went back to the men. Always went back to Stone Cold. Always went back to The Rock, Triple H, DX, Kane, Undertaker, the factions that were there. Like, it were a lot of dudes in there. Like, I was just watching the clip, and I forgot about the Brood. Like, ooh. Right. You don't see a lot of the women, and, like, the women that you did see. Where's China? China was there for most of it. Like, from what, 96 to 2001? Stephanie was there, and you saw her transformation from when she got kidnapped in 97 all the way up and even until now. Jacqueline was there when she was with the Acolytes at one point. You know, like every woman in the Attitude Era played their role. Like they had their specific role. But for me, I'm so glad like we are not in that same time and that same part where the women are just being minusculed or like a bathroom break, if you will. Like the women now are literally up there with the men, if not higher than the men.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Becky didn't leave, didn't have to go, if Charlotte didn't get injured, Sasha and Bayley feuded, came back or whatever. Naya, Asuka, Kyrie, Bianca Belair, Naomi. Like, if Corona didn't happen, do you know how... I'm even liking the Iconics right now.
Yo, the women are killing it these days,
right.
I must
I'm
say.
I'm really liking the Iconics right now. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's the heat. I'm not sure. But no, they literally left and you know... They left. They really didn't leave. They weren't on TV as much. And they literally came back and knew and improved. And I just feel like the women of yesterday would be so proud of the women of today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Super proud of the women of today.
I totally agree. And that's why I'm so glad we have moments like the Royal Rumble Evolution where the women of the Attitude Era can come back and see how far the women have come. Like even Lita being the one to present the new women's championship from the Divas
at WrestleMania.
So fitting. It's just like, of course Lita is going to be the one to present this new championship that shows like women as actual like wrestlers. And I got to agree with you, like it definitely shifted for me because back then it was all about them. Like the women were great, don't get me wrong, but I was never like, I had to watch Raw to see Ivory. Like I was all about Stone Cold, Triple H, DX, Undertaker, like all them, like they were like looked at to me as like who I'm supposed to pay attention to and take seriously. I knew that when the women were on, it was fun, but I knew it was going to be either short or some sort of skin was going to be showed. And I didn't think anything was wrong with that at the time, but that's just how it was. But now I'm so invested in the women's matches and the wrestling feuds and just them being taken so seriously. And that's like why we have our show is because it's like we love wrestling, But now it's like the women are being looked at as
mm-hmm. Definitely, I agree. So it's hard to say what the attitude ever left for the women for them to be where they are now. It's so hard to say, because if you can do it, this is how it would be for me. Attitude Era Stone Cold is this era's Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Attitude Era's Rock is this era's Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude Era's DX, which is Shawn and Triple H, is this era's Bayley and Sasha.
Oh, I love this.
New Age Outlaws, the Iconics. The Brood, it would have been the Riot Squad, you know. Congratulations, Sarah Logan.
I know, hope right? You hear this. I'm happy for them. Yes, I'm happy for you.
Who else? And then you had, like, I feel like EO is definitely either Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio. Bianca Belair. Yeah, totally. Ooh, Bianca Belair, she's definitely up there for me with, like, Mick Foley. Like, when she get in that ring, is no holds, like, shoot, she's wailing, like, she's swinging. She's
so strong.
She's so strong.
Like, she's hitting you hard.
And she takes it, just like Mick Foley did. Like, Mick Foley didn't look the strongest, but he took it.
Yeah.
No F's given. I don't know who to compare Undertaker and Kane to when it comes onto the, oh, no, I don't. Oh, wait, no. I can do Nia and Tamina, Kane and Undertaker, like, they're not around as often, but when they're around, they're big, they're silent, and they're literally whipping ass.
Yep.
So that's how it measures for me. Naomi. Yeah. No, gosh. And I'm not saying gosh because I don't know who to compare Naomi to. I just feel like Naomi's growth and trajectory from throughout her career. The damn train. Don't want to let us be great. Right. Don't let us be great.
Right.
I feel like Naomi can definitely be up there with an Edge.
Go on.
And people may want to battle me or combat me. Give us your list. Let us
I
know.
I would love to see who you guys would compare the women now to the Attitude Era people, like the men back then. I would love to get a list of that. And I also want to know from you, Krista, what is your favorite Attitude Era moment? Like, what is a moment where you just think about and it just, like, brings back memories and it makes you smile? You're just like, it don't have to be with a woman per se, just back then, just a moment you think of off the top of your head.
It's just so much. But if I have to mention, if I have to say, the beer truck.
Yeah, that always comes to my head first. It was so iconic and memorable.
The beer truck. Rock and Sock Connection.
Oh, yes. So cool.
Anything the Ministry of Darkness or Corporate Ministry done.
Yeah.
Like, no, anything they do with that. What else? It's just so much Attitude Era stuff that you really can't
I gotta go back and look up some stuff. Let us know what y'all favorite moments in Attitude Era are. A lot of mine are the same as Krista's. But this was sort of our episode to kind of just talk freely about the women in the Attitude Era. We still have a couple more episodes coming up in this series. So stay tuned for those. Let us know what you think of this episode.
Mm-hmm. As you always do, we appreciate you guys. We have some, oh my gosh, I cannot wait. Like, me and P got some stuff for you guys, literally up our sleeves. Like, it's been really taking those wrestling girls to the next level. We just want to thank you guys. We can't thank you enough. There aren't enough thank yous that we can give, and there's not enough love that we can show and give you guys, because you guys really ride out for us. So we just want to say thank you. We want to say stay tuned because, I'm so excited for what we got next in store for you guys. I can't contain it. I just can't contain it. You got anything else before I wrap up?
No, I'm good.
Well, on that note, it's your girl, Krista B.
And Queen PR.
And we are out. Mm-hmm.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Krista B from Those Wrestling Girls. Now, if you know me, you know how much of a rock fan I am. And it's been so hard for me to get my hands on an actual rock t-shirt until now. I finally got my rock shirt and I got it from Ripple Junction. Ripple Junction is a team of imaginative pop culture fanatics who creates the planet's most awesome t-shirts and official licensed products. They are armed with all things WWE and is always some fun, cute designs up there. So you have to go up there. Make sure you go to ripplejunction.com and don't forget to use the code Those Wrestling Girls for 15% off of your purchase. Hope to see you there. And you have to let me know what shirts you got. Bye.